special report, Minnesota protests. Violent protests across the nation over the death of a black man in the custody of Minneapolis police. In Minneapolis, the protests over George Floyd's killing turned violent last night, as we hear from correspondent Omar Jimenez.
There's a midsection of this building that just collapsed down, and all the spectators that are here, there was one other person that walked by saying it's unbelievable as they stand here and watch. No one seems to be demonstrating at this hour. They just seem to be standing back in awe.
Correspondent Scott Carr reports violence erupted in Kentucky.
Louisville police say at least seven people were shot last night, with at least one person in critical condition. They say no officers fired their service weapons, but there were some arrests. No officers were among those injured. Police say the gathering of several hundred protesters began peacefully, but escalated to involve assaults on officers and property damage before the shooting.
I'm Mike Moss. Protesters took to the streets of several cities last night, including New York. Here's correspondent Steve Kastenbaum.
A few dozen people gathered in Union Square, a popular location for protests in Manhattan. They were outnumbered by police, who were out in force, intent on preventing any destruction of property. The protesters called for justice in the case of George Floyd, while chanting a phrase that became the rallying cry for Black Lives Matter protests when Eric Garner died after being placed in a chokehold by a police officer on Staten Island. His last words, "I can't breathe," were also Floyd's last words. Steve Kastenbaum, New York.
Twitter's added a warning to one of the president's tweets, saying when the looting begins, the shooting begins. Trump says that, Twitter says that violates the company's policy against glorifying violence. The White House is disputing that claim. On Wall Street, the Dow is down 219 points. I'm Mike Moss.
Every home has a to-do list. That leaky drain, bare spots on the lawn, repainting the trim. To finally get that to-do list done, call in a pro. Over the past 20 years, HomeAdvisor has connected over 100 million homeowners with trusted local pros. And during these times, we're making it easier than ever for great pros to join the HomeAdvisor network. For a limited time, home service businesses can get $200 in free advertising. Visit homeadvisor.com/offer for details. That's homeadvisor.com/offer.
As concerns about the coronavirus persist, AP's ground game inside the outbreak has you covered.
What are steps being taken there to reopen society?
Join Ralph Russo and the AP's global team of journalists as they keep you up to date with the latest news on COVID-19.
The whole rollout will be tied to a map of red and green zones based on how much the virus has spread in your region.
Listen and subscribe to Ground Game, free on Apple Podcasts or wherever you enjoy audio.
Sprague Sports is Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters. Why? Because Sprague Sports is the difference. Where else can you buy, sell, trade, or consign firearms with free expert appraisals always? There is nothing like Sprague Sports. And with local price matching, you can buy with confidence at Sprague's. And all Sprague's firearms come with a lifetime warranty. And talk about customer service. There's a gunsmith always on duty. Sprague's is your Remington warranty center. And when you need it, there's expert one-day sight-in service. But that's not all. Sprague Sports has got training courses, including Arizona CCW, First Shot, Hunter Education, and more. Sprague handles Glock, Blue Label pistols, and is your NFA dealer in suppressors and full autos. That's why we call them the experts. And Sprague's is Yuma's Yeti headquarters, the best Yeti selection and free ice for life. Sprague's has a 10-lane, rifle-certified indoor shooting range and gun rentals you can try before you buy. Serving Yuma's shooting and outdoor needs since 1956. That's the Sprague's difference. Sprague's, 32nd Street, next to Lowe's.
News, talk, sports, and up-to-date weather from 560 KBLU.
Excessive heat warning day again today. High of 108 with sunshine. Overnight low tonight of 75. Then for the weekend, sunny and hot. 103 on Saturday, 71 on Saturday night. Sunny and 105 Sunday, 73 Sunday night. Monday, sunny and 104.
The opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
this is Money Talk. Tom Rush here, Yuma Investment Group. Also got Derek Egberg, Academy Mortgage. Good morning.
Good morning, Tom. How are you doing?
Good, good. No, now we're up to, 105, 107. I'm surprised when you look at that, it doesn't get, it gets hotter towards the end of the day.
Yeah.
But really, by noon, it might be 100, And that's not bad, I don't think.
It's cool in the mornings.
Yeah.
Yeah, it feels good.
It's gorgeous this morning.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, I'm watching the electric meter spin already. The air conditioners are all spooled up. So.
Yeah. So anyways, what I want to do is just talk about whatever's on our mind here. And I got some stats as far as what's going on in the world. The market is down, give or take about 8% for the year. And if you look at all the things that have happened, it's held up. It took a big hit to the bottom. Dropped about 35%, but it rebounded back, still down 8% for the year. But to me, it's strange why the market's responding so positive, in my opinion. Because if you look at the stats that are going to be coming out, retail was down heavily.
Mm-hmm.
People aren't spending money. I just saw Jersey, the governor of New Jersey said that if they don't get federal help, they're going to lay off 200,000 employees. So what's going to happen is, a lot of these municipalities are under because the sales tax didn't come through because people weren't buying stuff, and they're going to have to make some hard decisions, I think.
These governors did it to us, and they never laid off any city. They never laid off any state. They never laid off any federal. They were all considered essential, and the rest of us, and they didn't realize their salaries is dependent on us working. And so they should have made us essential if they cared about their employees.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think they're nimble enough to do that, right?
Yeah, no,
and that's
yeah.
The bottom line.
Yeah.
So, but you're talking about why the market isn't reacting to that. I think wasn't it former Fed Chairman Greenspan said irrational exuberance. I think everybody wants the stock market to continue, and everybody who has some cash is still investing. What's the stock market at right now?
25, 185.
The high was what, 26? Something. It was
29.
Yeah,
29,568 was its high.
Okay.
So again,
but right now it's flat from where it was 1 year ago.
Okay. But if you think about it, so we have lots of people off work. You have lots of companies who are their doors are shuttered at this point, and the stock market is still near highs. Not at its highs. That's that irrational exuberance. I think you have people who want, and I think we as Americans can will things to happen. Tom, you built a great company. You willed that out of blood, sweat, and tears to be built. Even when people said no, it couldn't be done. Even when you ran through hard times, you did it. And I think that's what you're seeing in the market, at least from my vantage point, is people are literally willing this to keep happening, and some of the data metrics don't make sense.
And to piggyback on that, they also say never fight the Fed. That's a famous saying. I don't know who said it, but it's common in our industry. So, when the Fed wants to stimulate in whatever fashion they do, basically the rule of thumb is you don't fight them on it. Now, eventually, they can't keep printing money and writing checks. So it's all going to have a little bit of a downturn. I think this correction right now to me looks like a V. The top was February 19th. The bottom was March 23rd. Depending on what index you looked at, it dropped probably 35-40%. And then it rebounded back to now we're down about 8, but it looks like almost like a V, very quick down, relatively quick up. So I think we're probably going to see some type of W. And, with the W, when it goes back down on a W, will it go back down to the all-time low? I don't think so. And I think it's also going to probably stretch out a little bit more to be a fatter,
A fat W.
A fat W on the backside, yeah.
Can you trademark that term? Is that like an industry term for you? Or?
Well, I just found out from George in my office. He does a term called the swoosh. And that's the Nike
emblem. The Nike
emblem.
Swoosh.
But you know how it barely kind of peters back up?
Mm-hmm.
They think that the economy is it's going to take a little bit to get back up. But I do think
like the Tom Rush fat W.
Fat W.
Fat W with,
yeah.
With not as high far of a dip. Hey, the other thing is 40% of our GDP is based on small business, right? No matter what they say, small business drives the economy.
Yes.
And there are stats out there, and I know Barron's came out last weekend with some stats, and they think 1 out of 5 small business will close their door. Now, that's 20%.
That's big.
That's 20%. Now, I don't know where that stat came from, but if that happens, I mean, it's going to take small businesses a while to get back up. I mean, because, you know, some will go out of business, and mm-hmm. I think that's apparent. But, you know, they're not going to just be nimble and get back into business. It's going to take a while. So that's where I think there's going to be some fallout. And, you know, once 75% of GDP is also based on consumptions by Americans, our consumption went right down the toilet. I mean, the retail dropped 16% in 1 month, numbers that you never seen before, never thought of anything possible. So I just think there's more numbers surfacing to the top, and the numbers are going to probably scare things back down. And then to top it off, as you guys might be aware, there's more and more bad will, or whatever you want to call it, with the Chinese. Huh. And I think that's going to also, you know, we saw when the market dropped about a year ago, because it's, you know, there was with the trade tariffs and all mm-hmm. that. Well, that if that heats up again, that's going to be more gas to this fire, I think. So, I mean, I'm not optimistic. I mean, for the most part, I think shut your eyes open 1 to 2 years from now, I don't have anything to worry about. I'm not completely negative, but I think in the next 6 months, 9 months, it could be interesting on what surfaces.
So are those things just to pay attention to, though? Because there's always buying opportunities, and if you're investing in the market, if you say that, you know, let's pretend there is something with China and an embargo or trade wars. How many American companies could start reproducing products here and continue to bring those jobs back here? And we've seen it happen over the last 3 or 4 years that there have been manufacturing plants brought back into the U.S. and companies talking about opening things here. You know, are those opportunities, especially when we talk about the U.S. economy, are those some of those same opportunities that it might look bleak for a second, but somebody goes, oh my gosh, that's an amazing opportunity. Let's get going, boys.
Man, I would guess to bring stuff back at least has to take a minimum of a year of planning, wouldn't you think?
I think they've been working on it, though, for a while. I mean, that was a Trump campaign promise, and you're right, it takes a long time.
Yeah, it's not like...
But they've been doing it, so I think it continues.
Well, and who's to say that there is an infrastructure here, and don't get me wrong, I don't know all the particulars and all the industries, but look at what Tesla was using, an old Toyota plant. You know, Tesla went out, and this is years and years ago, this isn't a recent
one.
The one
in Chicago, right?
But you look at, you know, here's a unused facility that Tesla picked up for much cheaper than they could have built one for, and now they're using some of that infrastructure. I think we have a lot of manufacturing infrastructure that's just sitting idle if you look around. I mean, there's a couple of plants here in Yuma that could be reused for certain things. There's people that could utilize resources in a way maybe not thought possible in the last 10 years and turn the engine over, if you will.
More importantly, probably get them at a good price.
Yes, that's what I'm saying. And don't get me wrong, I don't want anybody's business to go out of business. But if one goes out of business and somebody else sees an opportunity, that business may be back up and running under a different shape or format or assimilated some way.
Absolutely. I was okay with GM going bankrupt. It wouldn't have bothered me because somebody would have taken it right over and done something.
You know, obviously, there's people listening out there right now, if you're thinking about starting a business, they always say you're better off starting in a down market because it's only going to get better, right?
Yeah.
I mean, if you do it at the top and then it becomes painful and you might not have
teach
enough
it
funds.
To be,
so yeah. Now's the time, I think, if you're going to be doing it, to start looking. Now.
Teach you to be lean, mean, and nimble, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
You know, but there's all kinds of opportunities. Now, you were talking about governmental resources and not having sales tax. You know, something that we've talked about, and this is kind of an oddball one, but it's come up over and over. Do we or do we not have literally an unused desalinization plant here?
It's available. It's not being used. Right?
Correct.
I think they have to run it, like, right, every now and then.
Every now and then. But think about, you know, you have cities like Las Vegas that have no water. We could be, you know, they could be paying us to run that and have a slight financial gain. They
suck water out of the ocean?
They could type, no, out of the Colorado.
Oh. Yeah.
Comes out of the Colorado. But, you know, there's resources that we could utilize in a way that might be financially beneficial, whether to a business or to an, you know.
I always thought the Colorado River was allocated already.
It is. Yeah. We send a lot of water down beside the Colorado that's got salt in it.
Mm-hmm.
It runs right around the desalination plant. It doesn't actually go into the river
because
it would contaminate it. But it does go down into the marshlands down in South in California. I mean, in Mexico. You need to take a break, buddy.
Hey, be right back. This is Money Talk.
Derek Egeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
With Americans enjoying longer and more productive retirement than ever, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, we specialize in solid, dependable financial advice designed to work for you towards your objectives in retirement. Whether your personal situation requires low volatility liquid assets or longer-term investments with potentially higher investment returns, it's important to first discuss your options with a trusted financial advisor. For more information or to schedule a consultation, call 329-1700. Securities offered through LPL Financial Services, member FINRA, SIPC.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. Whether you require low volatility, liquid assets, or longer-term investments for higher returns, it's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
If you were diagnosed with a life-threatening medical condition, you'd get a second opinion. Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being too? If you've been questioning the wisdom of the investment plan you've been following, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs and offer a vital second opinion. Simply call Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management at 928-329-1700. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA. NRA, SIPC.
Derek Egeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. This week on Money Talk, we'll be taking your questions on mortgages, credit, rental properties, and other budgeting items. If you or someone you know has a question, please call us Friday morning between 8 and 9 a.m. at 344-5258, 344-5258. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081. Hey, good morning, Yuma Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU. Derek, Tom, and Russ here on a wonderful Friday morning. It's like 8:18. Weather's beautiful. It's going to be a good weekend. It's going to be a great weekend. A lot of things to talk about. Russ, you were talking about the launch of the rocket this weekend.
I'm going to watch it.
You're going to watch it. You know, tons of amazing opportunities and abilities. And I know, Tom, you were talking about some stats and off air, you were talking about fear versus danger. Had a couple other things. I mean, I'd love to talk about that a little bit because I think we work ourselves up into, is the glass half full? Is the glass half empty? What am I looking at? And two people see the same glass and they have two or three or four different perspectives.
Yeah. So just some stats. So last week, which is May 22nd, there was 8,500 deaths from the virus in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
So if you take an average of the last 6 weeks, there was averaging about 13,500 deaths. So this thing seems to be going down.
Nationwide, it definitely is.
Yeah.
Not in Yuma,
but
nationwide.
Nationwide, yeah. But when you listen and I watch the news, and I mean, I don't think that message is out there a lot. I mean, they're not beating their chest saying, hey, this thing's going down.
Well,
it dropped by quite a bit, almost 40%.
You know, let's be brutally honest. The news media is a business, and they get paid to sell. And good news in America doesn't sell. It never does. It's the negative fear that sells.
Plus the riots are, you know, taking over the news.
You know, there's another frustrating thing. Hey, let's take it out on somebody who didn't have a hand in that.
Yeah.
But Russ, you were talking about, you were interviewing somebody on air, so I hope it's okay to talk about
sure.
it. You were talking about somebody who was saying that there are people who are crossing the border that are tested positive, but because they're either a visa or a U.S. citizen, they're still allowed to walk in.
They surprised me. It was a customs official named John, and John said that they come to the border, unroll the window, and they hand him a piece of paper that says, I'm COVID positive. And I said, well, why did they hand you that? He says, right, that's what we asked. Why are you handing this to me?
So they don't check green card or anything? They just let them across?
Well, no, they're U.S. citizens.
Oh.
You know, they're legal.
Oh.
But they're coming in, sick, and they have no way to stop it or curtail it. I said, please tell me they weren't in a car alone. They probably had people with them, right?
Family.
He said, oh, yeah, the kids with no mask and they're just full, whole car full of people with papers saying that one of them's got COVID-19.
So there was an article from this guy's Brian Westbury. He's the chief economist for First Trust, which is pretty sharp company. They do a lot of research and stuff. Anyways, he came out about this thing, and he said that basically most of us are confused with what's happening with this virus. And he said there's a big difference between being scared or being fearful and being dangerous. So basically, he made some analogies, and he thinks that this is going to go down in the history dates as one of the worst fearful, trying to think here, to go down the history books that we basically got duped as the United States, and we let fear overtake us compared to danger.
Mm-hmm.
And he put some stats out there, and basically, I think to prove his point, he was saying every year with heart disease, there's about 650,000 people that die, which is about 54,000 people a month.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also cancer and diabetes. So there's some numbers out there that are quite a bit stronger than the virus. But he says, you know, with fear, it's imagination. And, you know, how many people, and I think everyone has done this, when you're swimming in the ocean or you're on the beach, you're always in the back of your mind think of Jaws, right?
Yeah.
And you're always like, shark's going to get us. Well, the probability of getting bit by a shark is almost off the chart none.
Yeah. You know, it's actually zero if you're on the beach, but that's a different story.
Yeah. Different type kind of shark out there.
Hedging his bet.
But anyway, the point being is, you know, that's imagination takes over. So he's saying the same thing, that we basically have taken this virus and basically, like, shut the economy and doing a lot of these drastic things that basically put fear into people and have overreacted, in a nutshell.
Mm-hmm.
So he basically says that, and let me give you some stats here. So basically, 81% of the deaths are people over the age of 65. And then when you go down to the younger ages, so if you go below 25, it's I don't know, 8 ten thousandths of a percent. I don't know, 0.0008%. So it's almost nothing. And if you go to anyone below the age of 55, it's 0.002. So that's what, 0.2%. So the numbers are almost non-existent to some degree. So anyways, I just think that I read this article and I said, I think a lot more people need to start thinking about this, because I think fear is the problem more than danger.
Well, and we're taught that at such a young age. I mean, every kid wants a nightlight in their room. You know, we fear the dark. You want a nightlight on. You want to see that it's okay. And I don't think it's any different than here. It's kind of like, hey, where's the nightlight? Where's the safety net? And for most people, the safety net was, hey, stay at home and don't go out and do anything.
We want to know where we're safe. We've been scared.
So they were saying cervical cancer screenings were down 68%. Cholesterol panels were down 67%. Blood sugar tests were down. For diabetes were down 65%. Which they were saying, you know, that will lead to more death. I mean, mm-hmm. We don't know exactly when, but... And then they said just the idea of domestic abuse, you know, alcoholism, things that people get in a rut when they're sitting home by themselves, just the emotional side of it will also cause death and despair somewhere. So anyways, I think overall we need to think this glass is half full and not half empty. And I know it's something to be serious about, but I think that also the medicine could be worse than the actual virus. If we keep things,
the cure
economy.
Killed us, man. Yeah. What are you talking about? Hey, we got a phone call called in and asked about the foreclosures in California and said that they've been going on since February. And I didn't know if you were aware of of foreclosures happening. I thought there was a pause on all that activity.
I don't know what they're talking about specifically. There is a pause that if it was a federally insured loan, so such as Fannie or Freddie, that there was a pause on being able to evict them and actually trigger the foreclosure. Now, the tracking mechanism is they're still going to be tracked as a delinquent on their mortgage. And you and I have talked about that, that I can show you credit reports that show that they're in forbearance, but they're still being dinged the 30 and the 60-day late on the credit report, and it's ruining their credit. So the foreclosure is the physical piece of paper that is being, you know, identified, sent out to the public in the notice of foreclosure. But what's happening is in most areas, the constables are not physically removing people. Now, that three-month window goes away when?
Almost done.
Yeah, technically it was March, April, May. So we don't even know what's going to happen come June, but there are lots of people who decided to go into forbearance that didn't need to, that now their credit is going to be wrecked, and I think you will see some foreclosures from this because you can't stop that tide forever.
I read a stat somewhere that they said, I think it was 12% of homeowners are going to be basically behind on their rent or their mortgage. Yeah. And they said the first 30 days, I think you get, if you're late, they don't really count that because you have a 30-day grace period. But then when you go on 60 days, you're going to really see how many people haven't paid their mortgage. 60 days is coming up, I believe, right?
Well, I mean, there's people that went into forbearance and were asking for help back in March. So, you know, I've seen credit reports that have a 30-day late, a 60-day late, and I know if I pulled it again now, they'd be 90 days late. And the thing is, it's 29 days late. It doesn't show up on your credit report. 30 days late, it's a 30-day late, and you're late, and it's going to report on your credit report. So,
have you seen any stats on is this a bigger problem than you think?
I don't have any stats at all on this. I think right now the credit bureaus are still monitoring it, but I don't know that anybody's actually paid to access for research.
You're on the air.
Yes, sir. Hey, so I was one of the people that went into forbearance. I got a call from my mortgage company yesterday, and so they gave me the option to push what I haven't paid to the back of the loan, and I guess do basically like a refi. But I'm only saying this because I took my credit report, and because I haven't made any payments for 2 months, but my credit report hasn't been affected.
That's fantastic. You're one of the few. Now, here would be the question, though, and I don't know if you want to say that. Is it a federally insured mortgage? Is it FHA or VA or conventional, or is it a...
It's a VA.
Okay. So VA, they haven't identified how they're going to do that yet. Fannie and Freddie, they specifically have guidelines out. VA, it's up to the individual investors. So happily, you have an investor who is not reporting it late to the credit bureau because you're a veteran, because it's in forbearance. Basically, if they're going to add it on to the end, are they adding interest or are they just dumping the principal balance on the end?
Yeah, I'm going to get the package in the mail, so I don't know all the ins and outs of
okay.
it, but it sounds like that. I didn't really ask, but I believe it's going to be like a refi on the loan.
I would love to see the paperwork when you get it, only because most of the time it won't be another refinance. With all of the loan programs, what they're going to make us as lenders do is validate that all payments within the last 12 months have been made. Now, that individual servicer can call it a refinance, but what they're probably going to do is adjust your interest rate themselves, one way or the other, and add on the principal and the interest to the back end.
So do you think they could report it still and he could hurt his credit, or is he off the hook at this point? I mean,
they can report it whenever they want. So that's the hard part, is there's nothing that says they cannot report it ever. But I do appreciate the call. Thank you so very much. We do have to take a break. This is Money Talk, AM 560 KBLU.
Sprague Sports is human. Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters. Why? Because Sprague Sports is the difference. Where else can you buy, sell, trade, or consign firearms with free expert appraisals always? There is nothing like Sprague Sports. And with local price matching, you can buy with confidence at Sprague's. And all Sprague's firearms come with a lifetime warranty. And talk about customer service. There's a gunsmith always on duty. Sprague's is your Remington warranty center, and when you need it, there's expert one-day sight-in service. But that's not all. Sprague Sports has got training courses, including Arizona CCW, First Shot, Hunter Education, and more. Sprague's handles Glock, Blue Label pistols, and is your NFA dealer in suppressors and full autos. That's why we call them the experts. And Sprague's is Yuma's Yeti headquarters, the best Yeti selection, and free ice for life. Sprague's has a 10-lane, rifle-certified indoor shooting range, and gun rentals you can try before you buy. Serving Yuma's shooting and outdoor needs since 1956. That's the Sprague's difference. Sprague's, 32nd Street, next to Lowe's.
Morning News is brought to you by Sprague Sports on 32nd Street, Yuma's hunting and shooting headquarters, and responsible gun ownership since 1956.
Good morning, I'm Aziza Schuler with your KYMA News 11 update. Imperial County now has close to 1,500 confirmed cases of COVID-19. 26 people in the valley have died. In good news, 807 have recovered. Yuma County has over 900 confirmed positive cases. That's almost 100 new cases in just 24 hours. 14 people in Yuma County have died from it. In Arizona, the majority of those dying are over the age of 65. More than 18,000 people have been tested in our region. We have some much-needed relief for Arizona parents who essentially became homeschoolers overnight. The governor announced schools will reopen in the fall at the start of the next school year. There will be a detailed plan on exactly how they plan to do so safely on June 1st. Governor Doug Ducey also announced that summer youth sports and day camps can also start back up. Thank you for watching KYMA News 11. We will see you right back here for more news.
The opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
If you were diagnosed with a life-threatening medical condition, you'd get a second opinion. Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being too? If you've been questioning the wisdom of the investment plan you've been following, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs and offer a vital second opinion. Simply call Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management at 928-329-1700. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 180899. This week on Money Talk, we'll be taking your questions on mortgages, credit, rental properties, and other budgeting items. If you or someone you know has a question, please call us Friday morning between 8 and 9 a.m. at 344-5258, 344-5258. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
With Americans enjoying longer and more productive retirement than ever, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, we specialize in solid, dependable financial advice designed to work for you towards your objectives in retirement. Whether your personal situation requires low volatility liquid assets or longer-term investments with potentially higher investment returns, it's important to first discuss your options with a trusted financial advisor. For more information or to schedule a consultation, call 329-1700. Securities offered through LPL Financial Services, member FINRA, SIPC.
And he looks at her and says, "Hey, darling, I can remember when you could start with love."
Hey, Yuma, this is Money Talk. Tom Rush, Derek Eggeberg here, and we're talking about things. The federal government basically auctioned off $20 billion May 20th, and there are 20-year treasury notes. And this is a question for you guys, which I'm sure you're not going to get. When's the last time they did 20-year treasury notes? How long ago? What year? Roughly.
I haven't seen a 20-year treasury note in forever.
1986.
Okay.
Yeah. So that's... But if you think about it, the more debt we have and rates are so low, and I mentioned this on one of the other shows, I think we should do what Mexico is doing. They're doing a 100-year bond, and basically, you know, if they can sell them, you know, push, just like anything else, refinance at a low rate and push it all forward. Or a 50-year bond. I mean, go farther than 20. Seems like a rational decision. I don't know. I don't know why they don't do it, but maybe someone can comment on that. Maybe I don't know what I'm talking about. They also did auction off $32 billion in 10-year Treasury notes. They also did that in May.
Mm-hmm.
So with all this printing money, I think the government printed like 1.6, 1.8 trillion new dollar bills in the last, you know, 60 days. And now they're trying to figure out how to
pay for it.
Pay for it. So who knows? Maybe the Chinese are buying these, and, you know, indirectly the Chinese are paying for this. I have no idea. But anyways, back to inflation, because I think that's the... I know there hasn't been any inflation, really, in the last how many years?
None to speak of.
Like 10 years or something. So I think what's going to eventually happen is with all this... budget deficit and all that, and too much money pushed into the system, money supply, I think you're going to have inflation. And the question is how quick and when. And the Fed can continue to fight it, so it might not be 6 months from now, it might not be 8 months, 9 months. But I think if you could fast forward 1 to 3, 1 to 4 years, you're going to find, you know, mortgage rates back to 6%, I don't know, or something.
Well, then, so when you talk about fighting inflation, is an individual looking at your personal finances, man, if you could lock up a new 30-year fix at the interest rates that they are now, or you go refinance your car at the interest rates that they are now, or you go get some of these autos at 0%, I mean, structure your debt appropriately now. And, you know, when you can get a 30-year fix, let's just talk about rates. You know, I'm seeing people lock 30-year fixed mortgages in the high twos. That's ludicrous. And it is only because the Fed is purchasing all of the mortgage-backed securities at this point. You know, we're going right back to quantitative easing. But if you say, go back 3 years ago, we were seeing interest rates at the high fours to the low fives. That's almost a 50% reduction in interest rates. I mean, think about that. The carrying cost for your mortgage is down almost 50% interest-wise. Your principal is no different. But the interest-wise is almost 50% lower now because of where we are. So I had a lady come in yesterday. She's refinancing. She had a 7% interest rate. She's had her head in the sand for quite some time.
Yeah.
And she's going to leave with an interest rate that's in the low threes based on the setup that she needs.
And what's that do to her payment?
Cuts it in half.
Wow.
I mean, fixed income, you know, widowed lady, payment goes from $800 to just at $400.
Is she kind of kick herself for not coming in sooner?
No, she's just not happy.
She's ecstatic, and it's a wonderful thing for her, and that is life-changing for her, because on a fixed income, that $400 extra is freedom to her.
So, I mean, you talked about taking care of your debt, and the United States now has, you know, a lot of debt, I mean, $26 trillion plus. You think they would be, because, you know, they have 20-year treasuries, but the 10 years, when those 10 years come due again, they're probably going to have to reissue more bonds to cover it. And if rates move up even 1 point, that's going to be a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So you think the government would do a better job at trying to position this debt, as long as people will buy these bonds, go out 50-year bond, go out to 100-year bond, see what happens.
Yeah.
And that's the only reason why they probably, I'm trying to figure out why they aren't doing this, and they must not think, I don't know. They must not think it's going to be a big problem.
Well, at some point, we have to have more revenue. You can't just push the debt out. You can't say, hey, I'm going to push my debt and make it somebody else's problem 100 years from now. At some point, we all have to, you know, lace up, get on the court and say, okay, what can I do to alleviate the debt and start paying this thing down and figure that out?
You're on the air.
Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a question. I owe about $35,000 left on my mortgage, and I understand, I could be wrong, that there is no penalty if you withdraw money from your 401.
Yeah, so they have the rule is you can draw up to $100,000 out of your 401k, and you don't have a 10% penalty, and then you have... When you draw it out, it is taxable, but it's spread out over 2020, 2021, 2022. So you can only pay the income over 3 years. Now, if you want, you could do it all in 1 year if you want to just swallow it. But the kicker is if you put that money back within that three-year period, then you can go back and amend your taxes, and that would be a no-interest loan. You know, you'd have to
go... What I was thinking is, right now I only have a 10% taken out. If I pay that off, the loan, and then increase my percentage to 20%, would that be good, or just... right now I'm making extra payment. I plan to pay it off in... when I'm 62, in about 5 years.
What's the mortgage rate right now?
It's at 4.6, I think.
Okay.
Is it really worth it refinancing to? That's another question.
I'll let Derek answer that.
You know, it depends on what you're going to do with the additional money. How many years have you been in that mortgage as well?
2009. I refinanced it when it dropped down to, because it was higher I was paying, and it was, I was 6.75, and then when it went down to 4 point something, in 2000.
So you've had it for 11 years. Now, is it a 30-year mortgage, or is it a 15? Or
it was a 20.
Okay.
It was a 20-year.
So you really only have 9 years left.
So he's been paying it down.
But he talked about putting some extra in there. So I'm going to guess.
You said you have about 5 years left, right, if you just keep paying it down?
Yeah, right now I'm paying, making sure the mortgage payment without escrow and all that kind of stuff is $445. That's the mortgage payment. So right now what I'm trying to do is whatever the difference I have to add, I'll add in. If it's like $180 more to make $500, so my goal is $500 every month, and that way I can pay it off by when I'm 62 years old.
If you can stomach making the extra payments, believe it or not, I would tell you not to refinance, because the cost that you're going to go through, whether it's the lender fees, the appraisal, the title, you're not going to be in that mortgage long enough to recoup those costs. And so it would be more beneficial just to pay that mortgage off individually. Now, I know, kicking it back to Tom, the interest rate that you're paying on your mortgage, before I pulled it out of my 401k, I would want to know what's my rate of return on my 401k.
Yeah, I mean, do you have it on the bond side or the stock side, or where's the money at in the 401k?
It's on the high side.
Okay.
I need to pretty soon start changing and get it out of the high side. You know, I mean, the risk side.
Yeah. So if you did pull out, say, $35,000, paid off your house, then you can spread that income over 3 years. So you're going to have about $10,000 or more income that you're going to pay tax on. Because you don't have a house payment, if you do this, you could also put more into your 401k, because you're probably not maxing out your 401k. It's like $26,000
right.
A year, right? So if you put more money into your 401k, that's going to reduce your income if it's pre-tax money. So maybe you can offset some of that $10,000, is my point too. So some of this comes down to, I think, just peace of mind. Would you, mm-hmm. you feel better waking up in the morning with the house paid off, or you feel better waking up with a bigger 401k? And that's maybe the decision you should decide on what to do.
Because you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring you, and you're so close to the finish line, and you might not pass it, and you might not have a house if something really goes bad.
I will tell you, because the market has rebounded back, you know, pretty good from the downturn, if you're going to do it, I would do it sooner than later. I mean, I wouldn't wait 2-4 months. You know, I would cash out sooner just with the market.
Yeah, that's when the prices are lower, because you start paying in, and then it'll go up, you can get more returns.
Yeah. Well, thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Have a great day. Hey, we'll take another break here. This is Money Talk, 5-6 a.m.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 1808.99. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081.
With Americans enjoying longer and more productive retirement than ever, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. At Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management, we specialize in solid, dependable financial advice designed to work for you towards your objectives in retirement. Whether your personal situation requires low volatility liquid assets or longer-term investments with potentially higher investment returns, it's important to first discuss your options with a trusted financial advisor. For more information or to schedule a consultation, call 329-1700. Securities offered through LPL Financial Services, member FINRA, SIPC.
To enjoy a longer, productive retirement, you need an investment portfolio that continues to work for you. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management specializes in solid financial advice. Whether you require low volatility, liquid assets, or longer-term investments for higher returns, it's important to discuss your options with a financial advisor. Schedule a consultation with Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management today. Investment advisory services offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
If you were diagnosed with a life-threatening medical condition, you'd get a second opinion. Given recent events in the financial markets, doesn't a second opinion make sense for your financial well-being too? If you've been questioning the wisdom of the investment plan you've been following, Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management would like to help by offering a free, no-obligation consultation to review your financial affairs and offer a vital second opinion. Simply call Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management at 928-329-1700. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FDIC. NRA SIPC.
Derek Eggeberg, branch manager with Academy Mortgage here, NMLS number 1808899. With Academy Mortgage, inspiring hope, delivering dreams, and building prosperity, where we help individuals and families build a foundation for their future by providing opportunities to obtain home ownership through unique products and services. Academy Mortgage is an equal housing lender, NMLS number 3113, Arizona license number 0904081. Good morning, Yuma. Money Talk, AM 560, KBLU. Derek Eggeberg, Tom Rush, Russ Clark. Happy Friday. It's 8:46.
I like Fridays.
Beautiful day. Mm. It's going to be a great weekend. Everybody needs to stay safe. We've been talking about staying safe, healthy. We're talking about staying safe financially. Good call just now. You know, Tom, you had some other stats. What else do we need to talk about to keep people safe? You know, for me, the biggest thing is not being an ostrich. Don't put your head in the sand, and let's really look at your debt load all the way through. Tom, you're the financial building guy. I'm kind of the debt guy and the credit guy. So, you know, can you restructure your housing debt? Can you restructure your commercial debt? Can you restructure your credit card debt and even your auto debt? And interest rates are so low on all four of those. If you haven't taken a look, man, you're missing an opportunity. You know, even if you, let's say you owe a $200,000 home, and you're at 4.25%, and you could get down to 3.25%. 1% interest on $200,000 is $2,000 the first year in interest. You know, where else can you give yourself a $2,000 raise in a year for really just paying attention? Same thing, credit cards. It's amazing to me, I see people that still have 19 and 20% interest rate credit cards, that there's tons of 0% interest rate credit cards over there. You transfer the balances, and you get the 1 year no interest, and you set yourself on a path to pay them down or pay them off.
Yeah, and the other thing you can do if you refinance and save some money every month is just keep making that same payment. That way you can, like the gentleman who called in, you know, he cut his years down by, you know, four or five years. Mm-hmm. I would say on our side, everyone's, you know, gets emotional about these downturns and such. I would say that a financial plan is key, because when you have a financial plan, which is a roadmap on where you're going to be or what you need to do to retire, these little blurps don't have much of an effect on it. Right. So once you show people, hey, you're still going to retire at this age, people usually settle down a little bit.
You're on the air.
Hey, Russ.
Yeah.
It's Jesse.
Yeah.
Hey, really, really exciting what you guys were talking about, making money earlier, about businessmen starting up businesses in today's market. I really enjoyed it. It sounded real good. I just wanted to share a dynamic about businessmen opening up in capital.
Okay.
Back in the 50s and 60s, like Houston Photo here on 20th Street, they employed generations of people, carpenters, welders. I remember my dad raised our family, and there was tons of families that learned a craft. Young men, immigrants came to the country, and that family trained generations of different craftsmen, and they built the movie projection machines for Hollywood and for the government. But what happened back then in the 50s and 60s and 40s after the war, there wasn't so many government regulations that businesses have to face now. And for example, let's say there's 10 million politicians in the United States or government civil servants. Only Donald Trump talks about cutting regulations. The other 9,999,000 always increasing or following government regulations. So the bureaucracy is always growing. And Ronald Reagan in 63, he said, every businessman has a tale of harassment from a government bureau. So that adds an unseen burden on business, on ingenuity, on production, on imagination.
Sounds to me like you got to run for office.
Oh, no. I'm a free man. I'm a lover of freedom.
Okay. Well, I mean, I'm just saying, you know, you have these ideas which economically are correct. I mean, the less regulation, easier to open a business, better for the economy, money flows, velocity of money is quicker. But you're right. There's a lot of red
tape. But you know what's more important than that? You know what's more important than that?
What's that?
That you were sharing those things on the radio with us. It's like we're having economic church today. Because of your radio station, because you're talking about these things, you're exposing it to people that will never hear it. So,
I say amen to that.
For that.
Thanks for the call.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You know what? I mean, you probably know that person.
Yeah, okay. He owns an air conditioning company in town.
Okay. You know what's interesting is a lot of younger generations can learn a lot from the older generation, and this just popped in my head. But I got a LinkedIn text from one of my elementary classmates out in Dayton. And he goes, hey, my kid's, you know, up in Phoenix going to school, but he's trying to figure out what he wants to do, and he thinks he wants to get into business, finance. He goes, and he asked me if he knew anybody he could talk to, so he thought of me. So anyways, I met with him at Brownies a couple of days ago at 7 in the morning, and this and basically gave him my, you know, if I knew what I knew now scenario, and here's what you got to do. And anyway, it was a very productive meeting. I felt good about it because I think I was helping this guy out. You know, he surprisingly was a more, you know, type of guy that I told him, hey, get a degree, come back. If you come back to Yuma, call me again. Yeah. And he presented himself well, had good questions, and taken, you know, on his notebook. So, like that gentleman, Jesse, I mean, he's been around the block, and he knows the history of Yuma better than even guys like me that are maybe not as old. So I think there's a lot of value in trying to get a mentor or trying to pick someone's brain who's been around the block many times, and you can probably learn a lot and get to where you want to get a lot quicker.
Tom, how many mentors would you say you've had in your life? That's such a good word. I mean, if you said real men and women that you value as a mentor, how many?
Oh, that I've had?
Yeah.
I would say 3, maybe. I mean, not a lot.
And do you
different phases of my life?
Certainly. Do you attribute much of your success to the words of wisdom and the push from those people?
I contribute 100% of my success because the first guy who mentored me worked for Dean Witter, which is Morgan Stanley, and they didn't hire me up in Phoenix because I didn't have a license. I didn't know anything about the business. And they said, well, go get licensed somewhere else, come back in 5 years, and then we'll hire you. So I was walking out. One guy saw I was dressed up. He goes, hey, you looking for a job? Yeah, what do you know about the business? Nothing. He goes, well, I can't pay you much, but I'll show you what I know. And I said, okay. So I worked for him for 9 months at minimum wage, and he basically taught me everything. So that was one of my mentors, mm-hmm. Mike Doubleday. And I know when I got in the business and they finally hired me and I got licensed, I was able to succeed from what he taught me, because I really think, I don't know, I mean, I would say maybe I would have made it, maybe I wouldn't have, but he really taught me how to do it.
I think there's one thing that we don't talk about enough is the mentorship that either people seek out or they happen to get, one way or the other. I mean, Russ, how many mentors would you say you have in your life?
More than a dozen, and it's amazing that, you know, the people, we wouldn't get to where we are without someone showing us how. That
100%. I think if you talk to anybody who, you know, you would deem successful, they have, you know, a dozen mentors that have kind of flapped their wings on them a little bit.
I probably had more, but, you know, 3 stand out. You know,
yeah.
I mean, you don't remember who mentored
you.
But that young gentleman that came to talk to you is going to consider you a mentor if he hangs around with you more. You yeah. sent a young lady into me that was just super astute, taking lots of notes. Yeah. You know, it's seek out people who you can earn or learn some wisdom from, and don't be afraid to ask. And I think that's the one thing that sets people apart is, do you get over the fear of asking somebody for help? And if you know somebody who, man, I would love to learn what they know, call them. Ask them, especially in this environment.
And being a business owner, you want to kind of, you know, you want to, I think you can be more successful if you think outside the box, right? But on the flip side, you don't want to recreate the wheel either. So by getting knowledge from people that have become very successful, maybe they had some heartbreaks, maybe they, you know, successful again. But basically, don't create the wheel if you don't have to. Basically, get the ideas from other people.
Yeah, I don't know that there's many new ideas. It's just how do you repackage them?
Yeah, I reuse the old ones.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, and I talk about this kid, since I'm going to mention your name. So his big thing was he was hung up on all the details. And I said, look, you're looking at this way too detailed. You need to get a four-year degree. Not in some business, finance, I don't care what it is. All these other little details are minute. Just forget, you know, just go from point A to point B, get your degree, and then you can figure out from there the next step. But I think what was hanging them up was the small stuff in the middle. And I'm like, don't worry about the small stuff.
Go to YouTube, search Simon Sinek, What's Your Why, or Power of Why. And so many people I see get hung up on that same thing. They want to know the details. They want to make it perfect.
Yeah.
No, you got to know why you want to do it first, then figure out what is it that you're going to do. And then the last one is, how are you going to do it? You know, for crying out loud, Microsoft. The Microsoft version 1 was not all that good, you know, but they knew what they wanted to do. Even say, you know, the old iPods. You know, we now have a phone that's a huge computer that does the music and everything else. But, I mean, think about it. How many people were carrying around these fancy schmancy iPods and they thought they were cool, but Apple knew what they wanted to do. They had a why, and then they created the what, and then the how came lastly. So the details stop a lot of people because they're not firm on what that why is.
But, you know, you talk about being a mentor. Like, if you can explain to someone A, B, C, D, E, F, G, at least get that sequence in order, could help someone out so much more because mm-hmm. they're trying to do F, A, G, A, you know.
Yeah.
So just a simple conversation can bring it.
Well, what's the old thing? Everybody lift one. Everybody just find one person to mentor and help and coach. I mean, everybody has something you can mentor somebody else on. You can be a chef in a restaurant, mentor somebody. You can be, you know, a janitor somewhere and teach somebody something. If everybody just said, hey, let me mentor one person, what kind of a difference could that make?
Huge.
Mm-hmm.
Especially if you can reach down to, you know, high school area, maybe college, because that's really, I think, has more of an impact. I mean, granted, mentor a 35-year-old, but I think the younger they are, and I've hired high school employees that have worked for me. Now they're out of college and I hire them back. I mean,
huh.
it works. I mean, it,
yeah.
You know, the ones you like, you try to keep. So, you know, you always try to mentor your employees, right?
I mean, well, I know you do a great job of that. We try to do a great job of that. You know, my assistants started as receptionists. And, you know, you see people that are buying their second home and they're working on fully funding their 401k. You know, I enjoy doing the mentorship, and I know you do,
yeah.
too.
And you forget about, like, one business supports, like that gentleman Jesse said, families. I mean, how many families has Academy supported, you know? I mean, it's a big deal. I mean, we don't think about it, but people are having a good lifestyle, able to buy a boat, second home, live that dream because of jobs. So we got to keep jobs going. My opinion, we got to open this economy, try to do it as safe as we can, but I think we don't want to be stuck in a poor economy. That's going to lead to worse numbers and things.
Okay, well, you know, I agree with all of that, and we've only got like 20 seconds left, so everybody stay safe, stay productive, find somebody to mentor, and if you are serving or have served, from all of us that get to talk on the radio with these amazing freedoms, we appreciate you. Stay safe as well. Have a great weekend, everyone. This is Money Talk, AM 560, KBLU.
The
opinions voiced in this show, Money Talk, are for general information only and not intended for specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Yuma Investment Group Wealth Management investment advisory services are offered through CWM LLC, an SEC-registered investment advisor. Carson Partners, a division of CWM LLC, is a nationwide partnership of advisors.
From the 1 Hour Air Conditioning and Heating Studio, this is News Talk 560 KBLU. Yuma.